Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
In Genesis 45, verse 4, we read, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." Now, some 20 years before this, his brethren had sold him as a slave into Egypt. You remember that he had these dreams that all of his brethren were going to bow before him, and they hated him, and they were moved with envy. Joseph was the favorite of Jacob, and this moved them to envy, and they sold him as a slave. Now, while in Egypt, working for a man, the Lord prospered what he did in the house of Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife accused him of rape when he would not go into her. And so she told her husband that he had come in and done this, and he was thrown into prison unjustly. He was thrown into prison for something he did not do. Now, while he was in prison, there were two prisoners there, a butler and a baker, who had a dream. And he interpreted those dreams for that butler and baker. And they said, remember me when you go back into, he said to the butler who was going to be restored to his position, remember me. And the butler forgot about him. So here he is in prison 2 years later, there for crimes he did not commit. Now, during this time, the Pharaoh of Egypt had the dream about 7 skinny cows eating 7 fat cows and 7 skinny ears of corn eating 7 fat ears of corn, and he didn't know what it meant. And his butler said, I remember this man in prison who told me my dream. Perhaps he could tell you your dream. So he's brought out, and Joseph tells him 7 years of famine are coming, and 7 years of plenty before that. And the 7 years of famine will destroy everything about the 7 years of plenty. There's going to be a famine over all the earth. So here's what you need to do. You need to save everything you can, these 7 years of plenty, and then you'll be able to survive the 7 years of famine. So the Pharaoh made Joseph head of Egypt. He made him second in command to him only. And Joseph was given all this power, and he was very successful in gathering up corn, and he became the man who, if you're going to have food, you're going to have to come to him for it. Now, 2 years later, after the plenty was over and the famine had started, it was going on with his brethren who had long ago forgotten about Joseph. They were so cruel in the way they did him. They were cruel with Jacob, telling him that he probably had been slain by beasts, taking the coat of many colors, dipping it in blood, and saying, is this your son's coat? And he said, no doubt a beast has torn him up. So 2 years into the famine, Jacob hears there's corn in Egypt. And he says, go down and get corn in Egypt. And they come to Egypt, and they had to go to their brother Joseph. They didn't know he was Joseph. He spake in the Egyptian language. He was shaved like an Egyptian, and they had no idea it was their brother. But their brother knew him. He knew them completely. And I don't have any doubt that when he saw them bowing down before him, asking for food, he remembered that dream that he had had, that they would bow down for him. But he spoke roughly to them, and he said, you're spies. And they said, no, we're true men. And he said, you're spies. And they tried to tell him of their family. No, we're true men. We're 12 brethren. One's dead. They didn't know they were speaking to him. And the other's back at home with his dad, Benjamin. He said, well, I'm going to give you corn. But for you to come back and get more corn, you're going to have to bring your brother Benjamin. So they go back to the land with the corn, and then when they come back again, they're there with Benjamin, and he says he's going to keep Benjamin, and they're so upset. Now that's the setting. They still don't know that he's Joseph. All they know about this man is that they're in his hands, and he can give them food or he can have them put to death, whatever he wants to do. And they are afraid. Joseph has spoken roughly to them. He's not spoken to them in any language but the Egyptian language. He had to speak to them through a translator. Now, we read in chapter 45, verse 1. This is when Joseph makes himself known to his brethren. And this is one of the most touching stories in the Bible. We learn something about forgiveness. We learn something about the sovereignty of God. But most especially, we learn the gospel of Jesus Christ through this story. Now, in Genesis chapter 45, verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself. He'd been refraining himself. He'd been speaking roughly to them, but his heart yearned over them. You see, in his heart, he'd already forgiven. And he loved them. He saw them as his brethren. So there was a time when he could not refrain himself any longer. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Can you imagine how surprised they were when he started speaking in the Hebrew tongue? And they knew exactly what he was saying. And he's letting them know, "I am your brother whom you sold into Egypt." Verse 2, and he wept aloud. He was so moved with emotion at seeing his brethren and loving them. And he had forgiven them. And he is so happy to see them, even after the horrible way that they treated him. He has forgiven them, and he loves them. He wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard, and Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" You're talking about the man that your father, he's my father. Is he still alive? We have the same father. We're brethren. And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. They were gripped with fear. They were paralyzed with fear. This is our brother. This is the one we sold into Egypt 20 years before, and now he's the ruler of Egypt, and we're in his hands. And they think of the great guilt they brought upon themselves, and they couldn't even speak. Paralyzed in fear, wondering what was going to take place. Verse 4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." I'm sure they were looking for a place to run, and he said, "Come near." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." Now, somebody says, you don't really forgive somebody unless you forget what they've done. Joseph didn't forget. He knew exactly what they had done. Now, the reason God can forget is because there's nothing there for him to remember. When he put away the sins of his people, he doesn't remember them anymore because they're not there anymore. They're gone. They're canceled. They're wiped away. They're blotted out. And when God says, their sins and iniquities, I remember them no more, it's because there's nothing there to remember. But Joseph remembered what these men had done. Perhaps he'd had 20 years to think about it. When they sold him wickedly, when he besought them not to, they sold him as a slave, so heartless and cruel. And he says, "I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." He hadn't forgotten what they had done, but he'd forgiven them. Now look what he says to them. "Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Now, God had revealed to Joseph that the reason all this happened was according to his purpose. When he was betrayed, it was God's purpose for him to be betrayed. When he was sent down to Egypt, it was God's purpose for him to be sent to Egypt. When he was thrown into jail, it was God's purpose for him to be thrown in jail. When he's brought before Pharaoh to interpret those dreams, it was God's purpose that he be brought before Pharaoh to interpret those dreams. When he was made head of Egypt, it was God's purpose for him to be head of Egypt so he could be the one to save the lives of his brethren. You see, everything happens according to God's sovereign purpose. There is no such thing as luck. There's no good luck. There's no bad luck. There's no chance. There's no happenstance. God is God, and he controls everything. And he says to these boys, "Be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither earing nor harvest, nothing but famine, and God sent me before you." You did it wickedly, but God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. You see, Joseph understood that God is completely sovereign over the free and uncoerced actions of men. He really is God. And he had forgiven his brethren, and he saw that God was the one who really had done all of this. So he tells them, you go back to eat, or go back to Canaan, and he loaded them with all kinds of things to bring Jacob, and wagons and so on, to bring him back. He said, you go tell my father of my greatness, and you tell him to come back here, and I'm going to nourish you in the land of Goshen. Now, the first thing that I would like for us to consider is how that Joseph had completely forgiven his brethren. Oh, how evil were their actions toward him. How willful, how malicious, how heartless, how cruel, how terribly he was treated by his brethren. They hated him. They envied him. They didn't care a thing about him. They threw him in a pit, and then when they were going to kill him, and one said, well, we wouldn't make any money off that. Let's go ahead and sell him and get down in. And they sold him as a slave. He forgave these men before they ever asked for forgiveness. He completely forgave them. And he had done this long before he had seen them. They horribly wronged him because of their envy of him, but he forgave them completely, and he loved them. Now, if you and I have been forgiven by God, we will forgive. Now let me repeat that. If you and I have been forgiven by God, we will forgive. I love the scripture, Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why did God forgive you? For Christ's sake. Holy for Christ's sake. That's the only reason. Not because you were sorry. Not because you asked him to forgive you. Not because you promised to never do it again. Not because you started to straighten up and fly right. He did it for Christ's sake. And Christ's sake only. Have we ever understood that salvation does not end in the forgiveness of sins? It begins with the complete forgiveness of sins. You don't do this, this, and this, and believe this, and stop doing that, and then you're forgiven. No, you find out you've been forgiven. That's how you find that. That's understanding forgiveness. You find out you have been forgiven for Christ's sake. All your sins were put away by his blood. And if you've seen how you've been forgiven, you will be forgiving. You see how God has forgiven you, And when you pray, you say, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those who sin against us. We forgive the same way the Lord does, for Christ's sake. And if somebody is not a forgiving person, it's because they are not a forgiven person. If you have been forgiven, you will forgive. And we see that so clearly in this case of Joseph. The one you need, as far as this, think about this. The most godlike thing you can ever do is forgive someone. And if God allows you to be wronged to where you're put in a place where you need to forgive, you're being allowed to do the most godlike thing you'd ever do, forgive someone. You see, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And even when somebody wrongs me, it's all for my good and God's glory, and I'm given the benefit, I'm given the grace to be able to forgive that person. Now, even when I say that, I think, is the Lord going to send me somebody to wrong me that I'm going to have to forgive? I hope not, but if I'm wronged, I want to forgive as I've been forgiven. Now, the next thing we see in this story is a beautiful picture of God's sovereignty. He really is God. He's the one who did all these things. Joseph said to his brethren, you didn't send me here. God did. This wasn't you, but it's God. Don't be mad at yourself. Don't be angry with yourselves. God is the one who did this. Now, I love thinking about the life of Joseph. When he was sold into Egypt, God did it. When he was falsely accused, God did it. When he's thrown into prison, God did it. When he's forgotten by the men who he had interpreted their dreams, that was God doing that. Everything that happened to Joseph, everything that happens to me, everything that happens to you, is God doing it. God is sovereign. He is in control of everything. He's sovereign in creation. He's sovereign in providence. He's sovereign in salvation. That means the reason there's a created universe is because He willed it. Everything that happens in time, He's the first cause of. Everything. That's what this passage of Scripture says. The Lord hath made all things for Himself. And God's most especially sovereign in salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. If you're saved, it's because He saved you, not because of something you've done. And we see this when He says, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Oh, how beautifully we see the sovereignty of God. But I want us to see the gospel in this story. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph is such a type of Christ in this passage of Scripture. In verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Now, as bad as these men were, and they were bad men, they were still his brethren. And this is a relationship that could not be dissolved. Now, with regard to all that Christ has died for, that He came to save, they are His brethren. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 says, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for the which cause He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Now, everybody that the Lord has saved is united to Him, one with Him, and He counts them all brethren. And this is something that cannot be taken away. All of the elect, all who are united to Christ, are His brethren. And He could refrain Himself no longer. He looked at these men, and He loved them. He delighted in them. And this is His heart yearning after them. And my dear friend, if you're one of His, this is the way He feels about you. His heart yearns for you. This is the way the Lord Jesus feels toward all of His people. You may not know it yet, but if you're one of His, His heart yearns for you. and he made himself known unto his brethren. The only way you're going to know him is if he makes himself known. You can't figure this out. You're totally dependent on revelation, him making himself known. And he wept aloud, verse 2. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I'm Joseph. I'm your brother. He was speaking in the Hebrew language now. Before this, he'd been speaking through an interpreter. And now they know exactly who he is. I am Joseph, your brother. Now, when he reveals himself, you know who he is. You know he is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know he's the Lord. You know he is the Creator. You know he is the only Savior of sinners. You know he's God's Christ, God's prophet, God's priest, God's king. You know he's the altogether lovely one. You know he's the absolute sovereign of the universe. When he reveals himself, you know him. Now, none of this makes sense if he hadn't revealed himself to you, but if he reveals himself to you, you'll know. And notice that when he made himself known to his brethren, that's when they were troubled. That's when they couldn't speak. They were scared to death. They thought, we're in trouble. They saw their sin. Perhaps they just not thought about it much before this or just suppressed it. But now they see their sin and they're so troubled they can't speak. That's what happens when God makes himself known. Listen to this scripture, Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world stand guilty before God. You don't try to justify yourself or vindicate yourself. You know you're guilty. Guilty is charged. And your mouth is stopped. They could not even speak. They were so terrified. Verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me. Come near. And that's what the Lord says. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come near to me. They were afraid, but you know the Lord calls sinners to himself. These people that he said, come near to me, they were people who were guilty of great sin. I love that scripture. Then all the publicans and sinners came near for to hear him. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. These men were sinners. And he says, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. He doesn't say, you didn't do anything wrong. I'm your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourself that you sold me hither. You were guilty of doing this. You did it. There's no question about that. But don't be grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. I think of that scripture. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. God determined the death of his son for his own glorious holy purposes. And this was all determined by God. This was God's purpose. And then he says in verses 6 and 7, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest, but God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Now God sent me to preserve this family. This family. You see, this is the nation of Israel at its beginning, and they're going to be preserved. The promised Messiah is going to come. All of God's people are spiritually in Israel. This is the true Israel of God. I'm doing this to preserve you, your posterity and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And oh, what a great deliverance the Lord has saved his people with. I've been saved from my sins. I don't have to give an account for my sins before God. Christ put them away. I've been made the very righteousness of God. I've been given a holy nature. God is going to spend eternity revealing himself more and more of his grace to every believer. What a great deliverance to be justified, to be cleared of all guilt, to be holy, to stand before God without guilt, to spend eternity beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, having my sins actually put away by his death on Calvary's tree. What a great deliverance. Verse 8, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Now haste ye, go ye up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me. Tarry not. Come to me right now. Don't wait for something to happen. Don't wait till you learn more, or you understand more, or you're better. Don't tarry. On down in the chapter, he said, don't regard your stuff. Don't try to bring anything of your own. And that's the way we come to Christ. We come right now when we come. We don't wait for something to happen. We don't wait to get better. We don't wait to improve. We come right now. And we don't bring anything of our own. We come empty-handed. And he says, thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. That's the land of plenty, that most fertile place in Egypt. All of Jacob's house, Joseph said, you're going to dwell in the land of Goshen. Thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. Now this is God's great deliverance through his son, Joseph being a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved his brothers. He forgave his brothers. He understood that God is the cause of all things, and it was the God that sent him. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew God sent him to save the lives of his people with a great deliverance. Now, this is a beautiful story, one of the most wonderful stories ever told. But it tells us of an even more wonderful story, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give me and you eyes to see. Now we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write, or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nybert praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord,
to request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.